Good evening. Welcome to Digging Deeper on this Saturday evening. Family and friends, our spiritual checkup is almost complete. And just as our physical bodies sometimes need vitamins and supplements to keep them healthy, so also our spiritual body has its own prescription to keep you spiritually healthy. You see, Jesus Christ, the great physician of our souls, has written a prescription for you and for every one of his patients with the goal of getting a good dose of the gospel into everybody. Now, how do you know that the gospel is really in you? How do you know if you are really in tune with God? Tonight we come to the sixth test of our faith, and this test will reveal the proof of whether or not the gospel of Jesus Christ abides in you. You see, how you live your life shows quicker than anything else whether or not you know God and whether or not you are in fellowship with God. Listen, if you have grasped the truth of the gospel and you are striving to live it out, then you definitely know God and are in fellowship with God. But the converse is also tragically true. If the gospel, God's word, is not within you, then you do not know God. You are lost, regardless of what you may feel or what you may profess, regardless of what others may think. Friend, you do not know God if the gospel is not abiding in you. The gospel lives within the life of every genuine believer of Jesus Christ. And the believer should be striving to live out the gospel daily in their lives. They ought to be practicing the things that Jesus practiced. They ought to be walking the way in which Jesus walked. We need to be very cautious with what I'm about to say with this word fellowship in unrighteousness. That is, that a man can be declared righteous by Jesus Christ. You see, the Bible says, 2 Corinthians 5:21, for he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. But a man, friend, can only be declared righteous if he has repented of his sin and put his faith and his trust in the gospel of Jesus Christ. This is what is meant by fellowship. And many times a man can be saved and he can be out of fellowship with God, but most times that man's not out of fellowship with God. He's actually lost. And that's what God is going to speak to us about tonight. I want you to take your Bible there at home, if you will. We're still in 2 John. We're in the 24th verse. You follow along as I read. The word of our Lord says unto us, let that therefore abide in you, which ye have heard from the beginning. If that which ye have heard from the beginning shall remain in you, ye also shall continue in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise that he hath promised us, even eternal life. These things have I written unto you concerning them that seduce you. But the anointing which ye have received of him abideth in you, and ye need not that any man teach you. But as the same anointing teacheth you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie, and even as it hath taught you, ye shall abide in him. Well, family and friends, the aim of tonight's message is simply this: study the Word of God to make sure, certain, that the gospel is a vital part of your life. I want to take up this first point here. You see, the question can be asked, does the gospel abide in you? Look again at verse 24. He says, let that therefore abide in you which ye have heard from the beginning. If that which ye have heard from the beginning shall remain in you, ye also shall continue in the Son and in the Father. It's the old unchangeable message. Note, I want you to note the word gospel is not used in this verse, but rather John says that which ye have heard from the beginning. What have we heard from the beginning is the gospel, the glorious message, the truth that God's grace is available to all men through the anointing and the burial and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and by repentance of sin, men can be saved. Are you saved? Do you know that you're saved? Now, if you'll remember from last week in verses 22 and 23 of this same chapter, God was talking to us about men who were denying the gospel. Therefore, we know that which we have heard from the beginning is the gospel, the word of God. The Bible says, 1 John 2 and 21, I have not written unto you because ye know not the truth, but because ye know it, and that no lie is of the truth. It is the gospel, friends, the gospel preached by the apostles. 1 Corinthians 15, 3 and 4, the apostle Paul wrote, For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. It is the gospel of salvation. He wrote to Titus, For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared unto all men, teaching us what that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Looking for that blessed hope. Is that what you're looking for today? Are you looking for the blessed hope, Jesus Christ? Looking for that blessed hope in the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for us that He might redeem us from all iniquity, and purify unto Himself a peculiar people zealous of good works. Friends, the evidence of salvation, of knowing God, is that John's readers would resist the lies of the Antichrist. They would continue abiding in fellowship with the Son and with the Father. Is that what you're doing in your life? Are you living in continual fellowship, abiding in Jesus Christ, doing the things that God would have you to do? Is that how you're living? Or are you being carried away by the false teaching or the worldly pleasures or the possessions that are out there? How do we know if we know God and are in fellowship with God? We know it when the gospel is being lived out in our lives. Is the gospel being lived out in your life? Are we confessing Jesus Christ to be the Son of God, the Savior of mankind? Do we really believe that Jesus Christ is our only hope? That Jesus Christ is the Son of God? Are we letting Jesus Christ live out His life in us? Are we continually, habitually giving way to the same sins over and over and over again? This is the final proof that we know God. Does the gospel message abide in you, or does it come and go according to circumstances? What some claim to be the gospel is nothing more than a watered-down cause. Compromise. Compromise has replaced conviction in this world today. Compromise has replaced conviction in many a church today. Many a place, many a people are swallowing easy believism based on compromise. The reality of the gospel or the reality of fellowship can be confirmed in your life when the Spirit propels you to remain consistent. I ask you tonight, are you a consistent Christian? Are you walking daily with the Lord your God, or are you walking something different? Friend, are you walking in the light? And how can you claim to be walking in the light if your feet are still stuck in the darkness? Is the gospel evident in you? I want to share with you an example that will make a very good point. The following is a Russian parable. A hunter raised his rifle and he took aim at a large bear. And when he was about to pull the trigger, the bear spoke in a soft and soothing voice. The bear said, Hey, friend, isn't it better to talk than to shoot? What do you want? Let us negotiate the matter, the bear said. Well, lowering his rifle, the hunter replied, I want a fur coat. Well, good. That's real good. It's a good start to our negotiation. You want a fur coat? Well, I'll tell you what I want. I want a warm meal. I want a full stomach. So let's negotiate here. Let's compromise here. That is, you want a fur coat and I want a full stomach. Let's sit down. Let's just sit down here. Let's talk about it for just a little bit. Well, they sat down and they negotiated. And after a time, that bear walked away alone. The negotiations had been successful. The bear had a full stomach and the hunter had a fur coat, but not the way he expected it. Compromises rarely satisfy both sides. Never do they satisfy both sides in equal measure. Family and friends, there are many a man and a woman today and a child compromising with the Word of God. But I want you to know there can be no compromise with the Word of God. Either you're in fellowship with God and His life is clearly seen in you, it's clearly evident by how you're living. Either you're in fellowship with God or you're going your own way. You're just walking the way of the world. That's all you're doing. The Bible says that it is in Jesus Christ that we are to move and live and have our being. Family and friends, if someone died for you so that you would never have to pay the penalty or price of sin, there can be no doubt about this. We ought to be living for Jesus Christ and for no other. The Bible says that He died for all. That they who live should no longer henceforth live unto themselves, but unto Him who died for them and rose again. Let me ask you tonight, who are you really living for? Are you really living for Jesus Christ? I want you to note the great promise of God to man is that if we believe on Jesus Christ, we can have eternal life. God has made many promises, but this is the one promise that supersedes all the other promises. But I also want you to note the thrust of this verse. The evidence of our belief in Jesus Christ is our receiving eternal life. Verse 24 says, if we live a worldly life, then our salvation can be questioned. No doubt it can. That's why Paul says, give no appearance of evil. King James says we're to abstain from all the appearance of evil. And yet today we find too many people engaging in evil rather than abstaining from evil. Paul's point, the Bible's point, God's point, God says to us, don't even give the appearance of evil to people. Don't even show people that you may be doing something wrong. Friend, have you ever wondered what is eternal life? It is life. Real life. It is the very life of God Himself. It is the very being, essence, force, energy, principle, and power of life. And it has to do both with quality and duration. To live forever in this present world with a world like it is, well, that's not necessarily a good thing. Here's why. The world today and man today, it needs changing. Man needs a new body and he needs a new heart. And that changed life can only be found in Jesus Christ and through Jesus Christ. That's what eternal life is. Eternal life can only be found through God's own Son, Jesus Christ. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. Have you come the way of Jesus Christ? To possess eternal life is to know God. Once a person knows God and Jesus Christ, whom he has sent, that person has eternal life by trusting in the shed blood of Christ at the cross of Calvary. And that person will live forever. Jesus said, I have come that they might have life and have it more abundantly. The abundant life is found in Jesus Christ and no place else. That person has eternal life. He shall live forever. But even more essential is that person has the supreme quality of life. That is, he can live out the very life of God himself. You see, once a person believes in Jesus Christ through repentance and faith, he immediately receives eternal life. Friend, you're no longer your own. You have been bought with a price, the precious blood of Jesus Christ. And therefore, when you repent and you pray to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior, you can begin to live eternally from that day onward and every day of your life thereafter. You begin to live eternally if you've repented and know Jesus Christ. This is very significant, isn't it? Because it means that we should be very careful. Knowing this means that you and I need to be very careful about how we live every day. For every day we live is another day that we're living in eternity. If we've genuinely repented of our sin and trusted Christ, you realize we shall never die. Oh, I know this old tent will die. But we'll move out of this physical body and we'll move into the spiritual realm of heaven. And the Bible says now that right now, if you know Jesus Christ, the Bible says that you are blessed in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, you not only live today in this physical world, you also live in the eternal world. For at one moment, at any point in time, God could call you home and you'll be translated from this world into the precious arms of Jesus Christ. You are an eternal being now. If you have genuinely repented of your sin and trusted in Jesus Christ. Brings us to our second point tonight. Why is John writing this letter to believers? Why is John writing this letter to believers? It's because false teachers abound. They abounded then, they abound today. False teachers are everywhere, and they abounded. They were seeking to seduce, and they're seeking to lead astray the believers. It happens even today. A false teacher is one who attempts to lead us away from Jesus Christ, to lead us away from the glorious truth of God's Word, to lead us away from the truth that Jesus Christ has died for our sins. That's why Jesus said in John 10 and 28, He holds us in His hand, and no man can pluck us out of His hand. But I want you to note, the false teacher deceives people. He teaches and seeks to teach that a man can become acceptable to God by some other way than Jesus Christ. We hear this all over the world today. There are many roads to heaven, friend. There is not many roads. There is but one road. Jesus is the road, for it is Jesus who died for our sins. It is Jesus who said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. Don't believe what you hear. Know this. Jesus Christ is the way to eternal life. A false teacher will try to teach you that there are many religions, other ways, other approaches to God other than by Jesus Christ. He seeks to seduce you and lead people astray by getting them to follow some other teaching. And the tense is continuous action in the Greek, meaning the false teacher is forever going to try to seduce people and lead people astray. That's why the Bible gives us the command, study to show thyself approved, a workman unto God, rightly dividing the word of truth. You see, the believer must be on guard against false teaching because so much is at stake. If you give yourself over to false teaching, you will abandon the faith. If you listen to the deception, you will go astray. We must strive. We must seek to continue to follow Christ. We're not talking about losing salvation. We're talking about being deceived and living a life that is out of fellowship with God the Father. How many of you would say, oh, come on now, I just want to be deceived and live out of fellowship? Oh, you don't want that. Although many have gone that road, but you don't want that. If God sent His Son to provide man a way into eternity, that means He is not going to allow man to approach Him any other way. That's why God has given us a provision. Oh, the wonderful provision of God. And this provision is our third point here tonight. The provision that God has given is the provision of God's Holy Spirit. Verse 27. But the anointing which ye have received of Him abideth in you, and ye need not that any man teach you. But as the same anointing teacheth you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie, and even as it hath taught you, ye shall abide in Him. The Holy Spirit of God abides in us. The Bible says at the moment we come to receive Jesus Christ through repentance and faith, placing our trust in Him, that we are sealed with the Spirit. The Holy Spirit comes to live inside of us. He seals us until the day of redemption. He teaches us the truth. He seals us in Christ. The Bible teaches Romans 8, 16 and 17, the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with Him, that we may be also glorified with Him. And I ask you tonight, what kind of a relationship do you have with the Holy Spirit of God? Certainly we can learn from others. Paul said, be you followers of me even as I am of Christ. But what the Bible is talking about here when it says you don't need any man to teach you is very simply this. If a man teaches or preaches something from the pulpit, you need to know what your Bible says. You need to have studied your Bible enough to allow the Holy Spirit of God within you to be able to relate to whether He is telling you the truth or telling you a lie. And we're to let the Holy Spirit be the final authority in our lives. How sad it is today, friend, that some people act as if the Holy Spirit doesn't exist at all. Others fail to give credit to the Holy Spirit as being the third person of the Trinity. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, all three in one. Still others are intimidated by those who the Holy Spirit fills with His power, and still others have the audacity to try to control the Holy Spirit's work in their lives. Thereby they not only fail to control it, they grieve the Spirit of God, and some even go so far as to quench the Spirit of God's work in them. Despite all of the misconceptions people have today, the Holy Spirit does have a very important role, friend. A very important role to play in the life of every believer. Benjamin West was a great painter. He was speaking of Gilbert Stuart, a brother artist. A man who was famous for his beautiful coloring, he used to say to his pupils, it's no use to steal Stuart's colors. If you want to paint as well as he does, you must steal his eyes. When we're baffled in our efforts to live as Christ lived, the record of His life, how wonderful it is, will it not enable us to be like Him? What we need is His heart, His nature. Only divinity within us can recognize divinity without. And without the Holy Spirit, we cannot know Him as God. The Holy Spirit is our hope in Christ and in the truth of God's Word. I think about all these things. I wonder, friend, do you give the Holy Spirit His proper place in your heart and in your life? Can I ask you tonight, who's really ruling on the throne of your heart and life? Are you basing your life on the truth that God has given us in His holy word? Family and friends, God has given us His word so that we can know God's standards. And to know God's standards and to fail to do them means one of two things. It means either one, we are an immature believer who is out of fellowship with God, or it means that you're still lost and you have never genuinely repented of your sin and placed your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Is the gospel abiding in you? Are you claiming to be walking in the light, walking with God, and your feet are still in the darkness? Are you living in a way that proves the gospel lives in you? Have you grabbed hold and grasped the gospel truth? And are you striving to live it out in your life? Father, we pray tonight for that soul listening who is lost. And Lord, he's not been allowing the gospel truth to be lived out. Lord, I don't know where he might be tonight, but you do. He may be in prison. He could be in the hospital. He could be someplace else. But Lord, he needs Jesus tonight. Father, I pray in the power of your Spirit that you would take a hold of that man now and bring him to salvation in Christ. And I pray, Father, for all of us who claim that we know you and are living for you, that we are living in the light, even as you are in the light, that we are no longer living for ourselves, but living unto Jesus Christ. Lord, let it be that we have grasped the gospel truth, that there is only one road to heaven, and that road is through Jesus Christ our Lord. Father, we pray for decisions that are being made tonight. As the Bible says, just as I am. That's what the song says. Just as I am. Let us come unto Christ tonight. Let us give our hearts to Jesus. Amen.